This episode of Continuing Mission is brought to you by the wonderful patrons of Trek FM, who support us through Patreon. If you love Star Trek discussion, visit patreon.com/trekfm to find out how you can help and even become a part of the team. That's patreon.com/trekfm. And we thank everyone for their support.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Continuing Mission, our look at the ways in which fans are keeping Star Trek alive. I'm your host, Dennis Castello, and the primary focus of this show is on the fan series, or independent productions, that tell new stories set in the Star Trek universe. In this episode, I'm joined by Robin Hirt, the writer and executive producer of Star Trek Dark Armada, a fan series created in the Netherlands. For those of us living here in the United States, it's easy to forget that Star Trek is a global phenomenon, and so is its fandom. So it's always fun to see what fans outside the US are doing. If you don't speak Dutch, don't worry. Robin and his cast shoot their web series in English, so there won't be any language barrier keeping you from enjoying these episodes. Dark Armada takes place in the post-Voyager era of Star Trek and features a Nova-class starship, the USS Batavia. So let's take the turbo lift to the briefing room and begin our discussion with Robin Hirt of Star Trek Dark Armada. Welcome, Robin, to Continuing Mission, and thanks for coming on the podcast and talking to me about your project. Before we get started and jump into the nitty-gritty about your great fan Star Trek fan project, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what your day job is, what you do when you're not making Star Trek fan projects.
Well, hi, Dennis. Thank you for having me, first of all. It's great to be on your show, telling the listeners a bit about Star Trek Dark Armada we're doing. My name is Robin. I'm the executive producer of Star Trek Dark Armada. When I'm not doing that, I work in the IT, internet marketing, building websites, a lot of stuff like that. I'm from the Netherlands, Rotterdam. That's where we create Star Trek Dark Armada.
That's great. So have you lived in the Netherlands all your life? That's your native country?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Your cast and your crew, they're all from the Netherlands?
Yeah, most of them are. With our upcoming episode, there's one guy who flew in from Canada. So he's playing a part on the show. I think you may have already seen him on a little short piece we did called Almost Time, a little episode.
Okay.
He's the agent from Temporal Investigations who's going to be investigating us about a thing we might or might not be doing.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll look for him again. So how did you become a Star Trek fan? What brought you into Trek fandom? And tell us, what was your first Trek? Was it the original series or Next Generation or what?
Well, I'm 29, so Star Trek is older than me. I started watching it when I was about 10 or 11. Started watching The Next Generation was on TV over here. So with a little delay, Star Trek Voyager also came to our country. I started with The Next Generation, and soon after that came Star Trek Voyager. So Dark Armada is also pretty much based on a lot of stuff from Voyager. Uh-huh. Especially the ship is from Voyager, of course.
So did you have a group of Star Trek friends when you were growing up, other fans, or were you basically on your own in your Trek fandom?
Yeah, I used to say I will never wear a Star Trek uniform. That's silly. But but then the idea came to me to start a fan production of Star Trek, and I didn't have many friends who liked it. Who watched Star Trek, maybe one or two. So I reached out to fan clubs here, Star Trek fan clubs. There were two at the time, and now there's only one left. They helped me a lot to gather a group of people who could do this, who wanted to do this. We were welcomed by the Star Trek fan clubs here to do this thing. And those people who joined us became my friends.
Right, great. When did you first start to get the idea that creating a Trek fan film was something that you wanted to do?
Well, I think it was 2005. Star Trek Enterprise just stopped, was canceled, of course, and we were left without Trek. So that's devastating, of course.
Of course.
And a lot of groups online were starting their own productions. New Voyages, Hidden Frontier was putting out a lot of episodes. So we looked for something similar in the Netherlands or somewhere close. The closest thing was then in Germany was a project that was just starting. But that was a little bit too far away. So, yeah, we decided to just do it ourselves.
Okay, so take me back to that time, back to the beginning of your project. How did it go from an idea? Because I think a lot of Trek fans, they see fan project and they think, oh man, I'd like to do something like that someday. So how did it go from just being an idea to actually being an up and running project where you're actually shooting stuff?
Yeah, I was actually writing a story about the Dark Armada, a great enemy coming to Federation space. And so that's what the show is based on. I wrote a lot of stories about it, and we decided to make that into the series that you can see online. The start was a bit difficult, but the fan clubs here helped us to get the idea out to a lot of people who were part of that fan club. So they joined. We started discussing how we wanted to do this. Made a few designs. At the beginning, we were thinking about building a bridge for our ship, but it was a bit too far-fetched at the time. So we decided to do green screen. At first, a little rudimentary, but with the people that were joining us to do this, came a lot of experience. People who had some experience with doing green screen, and we started to look for ways to improve that. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and yeah, it's almost a second job.
Wow, of course. Yeah, most fan projects do become almost a second job. Podcasting is almost a second job. all right. So who are your main collaborators? Because you can't, unless you're Tommy Kraft, you can't do it all yourself. And you need actors. Even Tommy Kraft needs actors. So
yeah.
So who are your main collaborators, and what are their roles on the project?
Well, a lot of people were with us from the start, so 10 years ago. Martin was one of the first to join. He's doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Was also an actor on our episode Nightfall, the silly Vulcan on the bridge. That's Martin. And very soon came our director, who's still directing today. One of the things he brings with him is the shooting location. He works at a school for his normal job. And through him, we are allowed to use the school building as our shooting location.
Oh, nice.
So we use several rooms to one to set up the green screen, all of lighting stuff and audio equipment, everything. Another room for makeup, costumes, and another for lunch, stuff like that.
Sure. The all-important lunch and green room.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the actors hang out behind the scenes.
A lot of other people just help us with the CGI, the editing, the sounds. So we have a pretty steady team of about 10 people who've been doing this for years now.
That's great. Let's dive in and talk about Star Trek Dark Armada, Star Trek Batavia. Why don't you give me the premise of your story, what period it's set in, who the characters are. Imagine the listener hasn't seen any of your episodes yet.
Star Trek Dark Armada is a series that is post-Voyager, so it's a few years after the return of Voyager. We try to be a bit original. We have our own costume designs, but the main setting is that it's located in a piece of Federation space that has been abandoned by the Federation for a little while. So there's a lot of conflict there between colonists and a few native cultures there. So that's something that returns in our episodes. Another big part is, of course, the Dark Armada. It's our main villain that's coming to Federation space, but it hasn't been featured a lot. That's also the reason why we wanted to change the name from Star Trek Dark Armada to Star Trek Batavia. Because, yeah, it's that main villain that was supposed to be featured a lot in Nightfall, but the story changed a bit over the years. So it hasn't been featured a lot, actually. It will be mentioned again in our upcoming episode, Out of Time. But after that, we will restart the show, reboot the show. It will be called Star Trek Batavia from then on. And it will feature a lot of original stories, not related to any main villain. But of course, there will be some bad guys. It's about the crew of the Batavia. And another ship that's featured a lot is the Blue Star. Batavia is commanded by Captain Richardson. Yeah, you should just watch it to.
Okay. Sounds very interesting. So, why Batavia?
We call it Batavia.
Batavia. Why Batavia?
It's the name of a Dutch sailing ship in the 17th century that was supposed to sail to a city in Indonesia called by the Dutch Batavia. It was later renamed by the Indonesian people to Jakarta, the capital city. But the ship never arrived. The ship sank close to Australia on its first mission. So yeah, it's an interesting ship to pick. It's also fun because the ship has been remade here in the Netherlands. So you can actually visit it, a replica of the ship.
Oh, wow.
We're actually planning to film there someday.
Oh, nice.
That's one of the ideas we have at the moment, yeah.
Well, what inspired your story of the Dark Armada? That was the first story you started to develop. What inspired that?
Oh, that's a good question. it just came to me. It's a very simple story. The original idea was that a group of scientists went through a wormhole in the 23rd century and encountered some kind of virus there, which forced them to close it up and leave some people there. And the people there were a little bit vengeful to get back at the people who stranded them there. That's the general idea. That's what's featured in our first test episode, which was not very good, but yeah, that's what the idea was behind it.
That's cool. That sounds like a great premise for a villain. Yeah, stories of vengeance are always good, like Khan and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a lot of ups and downs when it comes to any kind of creative project, but ever so much more so when you're making a film project. What's been your favorite part of the endeavor?
The favorite part is always being on set with all the people involved that become your friends, of course. That's the greatest moment. When you write a script, everything is prepared, the costumes are ready, the storyboards are ready, everyone has read their lines and is ready to go, and you're on set and everyone's working on the production together. That's one of the greatest moments because it's just basically a lot of fun to do. Yeah, it's a lot of laughter, a lot of reshoots. So yeah, and of course another great thing is when it's all finished and you look at it and go, yeah, we made that together. Yeah, that's one of the greatest moments. And people respond to it and say, oh, that's pretty well made. The effects are great. The actors are great, even though they're Dutch trying to speak English, right? So yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
What have you learned that you didn't know before you started?
Oh my, a lot of things, really. I'm the executive producer, so I have a lot of things to organize, and people help me to organize. So I think one of the greatest things you learn is how to organize all those people working together to eventually create one episode, right? So that's challenging. That's how you learn to try to work with a team to create this thing. Personally, I learned a lot of different kind of things like editing, 3D compositing, stuff like that. But also creating costumes, something I never thought I would do. So it's when you do this fan production, there's a lot of things that have to be done, and you don't always have the people to do it. So you try to figure out a way to get things going, and sometimes you have to just step in and take care of it somehow. So that's how I started to make costumes, Star Trek uniforms, because there was no one else who wanted to do it or could do it. We could pay someone to do it, but that would cost a lot of money for all those uniforms to be made. So you just learn, you talk to people about it. Some people teach you new things.
Right. And
yeah, it's been amazing, really, yeah.
So you were telling me that when you first started, you got a call from James Colley. Why don't you tell me about that?
Yeah, we did our test episode, and our test episode was not based in the post-Voyager era. It was actually the original series era. So we borrowed a few costumes. We tried to do the best we could to make it look like we were on a TOS set. And we released that. And soon after that, I got an email from James Colley saying, hey, let's give me a call and we'll talk about your fan show. And I was like, oh, the great James Colley is... wants a phone call with me, a little production from the Netherlands. And, you know, James Colley has a great team and a lot of awesome sets he's using for his fan production New Voyages. So, yeah, that was awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I volunteered on one of his productions. It was a great time. I had a lot of fun.
Great, yeah.
You were speaking earlier about challenges. What's been the single greatest challenge you've faced?
Yeah, the most difficult thing was our episode Nightfall. We just finished our test episode. It was just a 10-minute piece. So with Nightfall, we wanted to do a lot of improvements to it. So we wanted everyone to have new costumes. We wanted the production quality to be much better than it was. So a lot of investments were made in green screen, lighting, the sound, camera, a lot of stuff. And we wrote a pilot episode. It was supposed to be an episode of 1 hour. It ended up being a half an hour episode. So a lot of compromise had to be made there. Yeah, it was one of the most challenging projects we did. And it took years just to get everything finished, the costumes, the people had to know their lines, some people had to be casted. We had about 20 actors, I think, on this in the script originally. So it was a little bit too big. So that's why we decided to cut it down to a half an hour episode. We were filming this starting 2006 and when it was 2008, we thought, yeah, this is taking a long time for something for the fans to see something new from us. So we decided to create a few short episodes before that. A few, they were supposed to be vignettes, 5-minute pieces to kind of just introduce the characters of the show. And they ended up being 15-minute episodes. So, yeah, those are the worst nightmare and the choices two-parter. Those were supposed to be little pieces that introduced the characters to before going to Nightfall, our pilot episode. But they became episodes in itself. And then when those were finished, we had to finish Nightfall, of course. And some things had to be reshot. Some actors were aged a little bit too much. So it was challenging to get this to one episode. And of course, a lot of stuff had to be cut out because a lot of introductions were already done in the three episodes before. So it was challenging to get it all done. Yeah.
Wow. Now that you've talked about the challenges or the things that were difficult, tell us a little bit about the things that went well, or put it this way, what was your single greatest joy in working on this project?
It's because it's such an interesting project, and we're the only one in the Netherlands doing this, or doing something that's sci-fi related at all. It's always fun to talk to people who know a little bit about Star Trek, but maybe not so much. So it's very easy for us to be invited to events, conventions, stuff like that. So they're always like, oh, you create your own Star Trek show. Oh, that's great. Oh, I used to watch Star Trek and stuff like that. So a lot of people welcomed us or wanted to help out because they know a little bit about Star Trek. That's always fun. And a lot of people helped us out. I think that's one of the greatest things. For example, our music has been done by, I think, about five music composers. A lot of them from the United States or Canada, who just wanted to do another fan production. Some of them do a lot of fan productions and wanted to help us out because, oh, it's Dark Armada from the Netherlands. You're cool. We want to do some music for them. That's that's great. People just want to help out. A lot of them for free. And that's what a fan production is about, of course. You can't always pay people to do these things. Yeah.
Fan projects like yours are kind of an inspiration for other fans who are thinking about doing their own projects. So what advice would you have for fans out there who are thinking of creating a fan project of their own?
Well, first of all, I'd say try to find a production that's close to you. There are a lot of fan production around, not always as well known as the bigger ones. But a lot of countries, a lot of states in the U.S. have their own fan production. So if you wanted to do something like that, I first look around, see what's out there already, because it's easier to just join a group, and which is a lot of fun, of course, than start your own. Because when you start your own, it's a lot of work to get it all finished. It will be a big part of your life eventually if you let it be. So yeah, first of all, try to find a group that's already doing this. And if not, try to find a group that wants to do it with you.
Oh, sounds like great advice. It's probably a very good method for somebody who wants to make, say, a fan film, but doesn't necessarily know how, they've never done it before, to join a working group and kind of learn the ropes working on an established fan project before they move off and kind of do things their own way. That's always a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So is there anything else you want to tell us about Star Trek Dark Armada or Star Trek Batavia?
Well, just watch the show. our next episode will be here, I think, in the next few months. We're just finishing up the episode Out of Time. It will be our final episode for Star Trek Dark Armada. We're very busy with it. Everything has been filmed. A few scenes have to be edited. Green screen has to be done. One of the interesting things is we're putting a lot of new quality in this show. So we're replacing all of the computer screens with animated Alcar screens.
Oh, nice.
Things like that. We're trying to have a little bit more camera movement in it, because that's one of the problems we have with green screen shows. It's a lot of static work. Everything is it's best to stand still and film it, but it becomes sort of an audio production that way.
Right.
A lot of speaking, a lot of not so much action. So we try to put a little more action in it, a little bit more shoots on location. So the next episode will have a shoot on location. Very exciting. And yeah, we try to do a little of new stuff with camera movement and 3D movement. So that will be in our upcoming episode. And I hope you all watch it and enjoy it.
I certainly will.
Yeah. Thanks.
So, all right. So I'm a bit of a techie. So tell me about the cameras and equipment that you use. What do you use to shoot it, and how do you edit it, and all that kind of stuff? That always interests me.
I don't know a lot about the tech stuff. The good thing is I have a lot of people who are very good at the tech stuff. I'm not sure which camera we use, but we use a professional camera.
Okay.
We film in green screen, of course, and the first editing is done in Vegas to get the scenes together, get the shots you want in it, because it's a lot of when you're shooting in green screen, it's you do the scene several times, sometimes a lot of times, from all the angles you want in it. It's sometimes a bit difficult to get it all into one scene like that. And after it's edited in Vegas, we go to the compositing part that's done in a program from FX Home. We use HitFilm for compositing, and we have a lot of pre-made stuff, our 3D sets, of course. That's what you need when you shoot in a green screen. Those are done by Mark Rademacher. I don't know if you heard of him, but he also did the Enterprise ship for NASA, the 3D model. So yeah, he's very professional. So he made a lot of our sets. When you have a scene, you try to put the camera in the same place in the 3D set, and then you render out the shot, put it in the green area, and then you just add a lot of effects to it to make it look just as real.
Who's the primary writer? Is that you?
Yeah, that's me, yeah.
So how long does it take you to develop your screenplays?
Usually not very long. I write the story first, then I work it into a script pretty fast. But usually we have a lot of re-edits, sometimes on set.
Sure.
A lot of edits were done to Nightfall, of course. We have 6 versions of it. 6th version is what the end result was. Yeah, so sometimes it's a bit of a process. But everyone has a say in it because it's just a group of fans, of course. So everyone gives their ideas.
Sure.
The script is usually not the most difficult part of the fan film. A lot of time is used for editing and stuff like that, compositing, 3D animating. That's what takes the most time. Yeah.
Where can our listeners find you on the internet?
If you go to darkarmada.nl, you can find us there. All the episodes are on there. A little bit about the background story, the actors, stuff like that. Or just find us on Facebook. Just type in Star Trek Dark Armada and you'll find us. If you have any questions, you can just post a message and we'll respond.
Wrapping things up, is there anything you'd like to add to what we've discussed?
First of all, thank you for having us here. That's awesome.
It's been my pleasure.
Yeah, to the fans, I hope you, if you've already watched Dark Armada, you enjoyed it. And if you haven't, please do. We make this with a lot of fun and a lot of love for Star Trek. Yeah, we hope you enjoy it. If you don't watch it. But yeah, the response has been great. A lot of people like what we do, and of course, it's a fan production, so the quality is not like a professional production. No Abrams stuff.
Well, cool. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
We hope that we'll have you on again after your next episode hits the internet.
Yeah, sure.
It's been fun talking with Robin here today, but this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm. The Orb.
The Wadi, a fun-loving race from the Gamma Quadrant, arrive at DS9 eager to play a game with Sisko and the crew, one that appears to be a matter of life and death. All right, so are we moving along, Matthew?
Oh, we're moving along.
The Ready Room.
He's carrying in the lamb chop sock puppet saying, "She stayed at her post."
While Charlie Horse ran.
While Charlie Horse ran.
To the journey! And then sexiness ensues, and it's a slow dissolve to the next morning.
Fantastic. Okay. Check. Janeway gets some.
Check. Janeway gets some. Confirmed. Commentary. Trek stars.
You know, you come up with something stupid because of some joke that someone said and someone else said, and then all of a sudden you're doing a tournament of movies which J.J. Abrams produced to determine which one is the crappiest.
Women at Warp.
AF, which are the initials that Picard carved into Boothby's tree back on Starfleet Academy, and that is how he met Boothby the groundskeeper.
Well, we never did learn Boothby's first and second name, did we? It was all a ploy to get to hang out with Boothby.
Meta Trex.
What I find most interesting is that when Deanna suggests it, Riker doesn't say, "What? That's a crazy idea," or "I've never thought about that." He's just like, "Oh, okay, good idea." It's a normal thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a normal thing to call up something in the holodeck, mm-hmm, and kind of work through it or live through it.
Melodic Treks.
The reason why I think Brian Reitzel would be a more plausible choice is because he has worked with Fuller in the past. They worked together on Hannibal. He scored that series, all 39 episodes. The neat thing about Brian Reitzel's music is it's more of a sound design than it is a score.
Saturday Morning Trek.
Chekhov was in the first season, but he was working on the third deck behind the boiler room and was ill with a condition called Malapropsky's malady, which is a kind of 23rd century version of Montezuma's revenge, and was hidden in the bathroom, ensconced there for hours and hours, while poor Mr. Khan's genetically engineered kidneys, about to explode, pounded pitifully on the door, begging to be let in, until finally the door opens, Chekhov steps out, Khan looks at him and says, "Your face, I remember."
That's the best explanation I've ever heard.
you get the idea that I've told this story before.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us out greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and of course, you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website and grab the RSS link as well. Another way you can help us keep all of our shows coming to you each week is to become a patron of the network on Patreon. If you visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, you'll find our current goals and different milestone contribution levels, along with all the great perks we have for you. Those perks include early access to content, exclusive content, producer credits, seats on our content development team, and more. We really appreciate any support you can give us and hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. If you'd like to contact us with feedback or suggestions for the show, or if you have a fan project that you would like to discuss with us, you can contact us in several different ways. You can use the form at trekfm/contact. You can also leave us a voicemail. Look in the sidebar on the Continuing Mission show page at Trek FM, or go to speakpipe.com/trekfm. Our Twitter handle is @TrekFM. We can be found on Facebook at Trek FM. Or you can join the discussion on Trek FM's listeners-only group on Facebook called The Babel Conference. Type The Babel Conference, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, or go to our website at Trek FM and click Discussion on the menu bar. The Babel Conference is a closed group, but if you ask to join, we'll let you right in and you can join the discussion. We also invite you to leave a rating and a review of Continuing Mission on iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback and suggestions for the show. I can always be found on the Babel Conference on Facebook, and my Twitter handle is @DennisCastello. We'd like to acknowledge the rest of the Trek FM team, without which this or any of our podcasts would not be possible. See Brian Jones, our founder and publisher of Trek FM, executive producers Charlene Schmidt, Matthew Rushing, and Norman Lau, Aaron Harvey, the Trek FM's art director, Will Wynn, our content manager, and Richard Marquez, our production manager. Thanks for joining us, and see you on the next mission.